Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, it's certainly an honor and a privilege to be here this morning. As Pastor Brad was saying, this church didn't start off that way. Back in 2003, we started Jamestown Family Church with 20 people from the Fredonia work. And then after a year, half of those people left us. They just, man, you know, because they're in the battlefield, because there was, we were striving to establish something of the Lord, and there was a great amount of adversaries and attacks. And but we just stuck with it. And from that, those early days, the pastors started to come. We didn't know it at the time. And you know, that's so important in life. Whenever you get a vision or direction from God, you just got to stay with it, stick with it. And I wish I could tell you that if the Lord told you to do something, it will always be light and easy. But the Bible says this: there's a great door and effectual, and there are many adversaries, and there were many adversaries, and trying to keep this work from going forward, but we just stuck with it. You know, we just had the sense of a seed. As long as the seed's planted, it will grow and grow. You don't see a whole lot when it's first planted, but you stick with it. Eventually, the harvest will come, and so this is part of that harvest. And currently, we have 11 churches in the United States, and we have a work in Spain and more yet to come. Praise the Lord. And so if you don't know it, we're in the midst of revival. There's a movement in this northeastern United States, and we're just setting this thing up for the return of Jesus. We're building churches, and that way we can have harvest barns to bring the precious fruits of the earth in. And so we're smack dab in the middle of revival in the will of God. And so we're just so honored and delighted to be sharing that with you and be workers together with you. I want to give my thanks to Pastor Tim and Katie for trusting me with you here this morning. I'm just so grateful and thankful that they could be away and they actually allowed me to come here today. So I'm glad they have confidence in me. And don't you love your pastors? And it's always good. You always want your pastors to go away. You know, they have to go away to get refreshed. They have to go to meetings. You know, pastors need to have church too. And so you ought to get greatly encouraged whenever your pastors go away, because you know they'll come back with something good. Over my 30-plus years of ministry, I find this out, that there's certain things that God won't talk to me about unless I get away from my work, unless I go to a meeting, unless I get away to rest. And so no doubt your pastors will come back with something great and for the work here. And also I want to make mention before I start ministering to all of you visitors here, you know, we welcome you to Family Church. And I want to say this, please do not judge this church by anything I say or do. Your pastor, the pastors here is Pastor Tim and Katie. First of all, he's much more handsome than I am, has a whole lot more hair, younger, you know, beautiful couple, and they preach much better than I do. And so, you know, I'm just so grateful that I can be second fiddle to them. And so if you're here and said, man, this guy don't know nothing, you know, what's he got to say, you know, just come back next week. I guarantee you will be blessed. So please, I want to get that disclaimer out. But praise the Lord. So honored, delighted to be with you. If you have your Bibles this morning, I'm going to invite you to open them to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. And as Pastor Brad was saying, he encouraged you to get all that you need here this morning. I believe I have something from heaven. I have a directive from heaven, and heaven wants to meet you. Heaven wants to meet your needs. Heaven wants to be more real to you. If you're going through something, heaven wants to provide that breakthrough. And you just need to know that when it comes to God, He's always willing, He's always able, and He wants to help you and bless you greater than you want that help and blessing. And so I have this sense in my spirit that God wants to help you here this morning to receive from Him, to get that breakthrough, to get that healing, to get that provision. And he wants you to know, man, he's not withholding any good thing from you. He wants it more than you do. But there are some things that we must do on our end. And that's by the grace of God and with your help, I want to communicate with you this morning. I've often said this, and it bears repeating, that there's always three parts to every service. And what are those three parts? We know that from Mark chapter 6. First of all, there's a God part. I mean, no, we're here because God has orchestrated this. God has told us to assemble together. This was not man's idea. It was not a denomination's idea. God said that we are to gather together in His name. And there are certain blessings. There are certain moves of the Spirit. There are certain answers that cannot come any other way but through the local church. But God reserves this time to do special things for His people. And we must know that when it comes to God, God is always on top of His game. God is always willing and God is always able. There's never been a time in God's life said, man, I just don't have it today. I'm just feeling a little short of power. I just don't think I can handle your petition, your request. No, God is omnipotent. He is all-powerful. He can do all things all the time. And so know this, that God is always ready and He has a planned purpose for every service. But also we understand that there's a preacher's part to the service. You know, whenever you come to church, there's a minister, there's a pastor. And he or she must hear from heaven. He or she must live right and must be anointed, must be called and obey the call of God. And so they have a part to play of hearing from heaven and preparing themselves for the meeting, for the message. But what is very interesting in Mark chapter 6, that we see Jesus as the minister went to His own hometown. And so here God sent him. God is on top of His game. And here Jesus went to His hometown. And we know this, that Jesus had the Spirit of God without measure. Jesus was always on top of His game. Jesus was never short of power. Jesus never woke up and just said, you know, I don't think I can handle this today. I don't think I can do this today. You know, he was always willing and able and on top of His game. But what was very interesting in His hometown, we read in Mark chapter 6 and verse 5, it said this, that He could there do no mighty work. Here we see that God wanted to do a mighty work. The preacher Jesus, who was the Son of God, wanted to do a mighty work, but they couldn't. And so often we think if God is going to do something, it's all on His end. Or if there's something that's going to happen in a service, it's all up to the preacher. Well, we read this from the Bible. God could be wanting to do something, and the preacher may hear from heaven been wanting to do something, but there's a third element. And really, the third element is the most important element, is the congregation. Their heart hunger, their desire. And so God and Jesus ganged up together could not override the congregation's will in that meeting in Nazareth. That is powerful and worthy of meditation. And so that puts a great responsibility on all of us. When we come, you know, we hold the trump card. We hold the ace. You know, God wants to do something every service. And your pastors seek God and love God. And they want God's will in the service. And no matter if they're hooked up with God, you are the deciding factor of what is said, what is done. And so I want to encourage you, every time you come, be hungry. Be thirsting. Keep the switch of faith on. And so I'm going to need you here this morning to help me. I have some things rolling in my spirit, and I know what God wants to do, but I need that third part to help me. I need your part. And the Bible says, they that hunger and thirst shall be filled, because I really believe that God wants to help you. You know, God cares about you. He knows what you're going through. He knows what your needs are. And some of you are looking to God for answers, are believing God for answers. And it seems like nothing is happening. Why isn't it here yet? Why don't I feel any different in my body? Why haven't the finances come through? Why haven't this family situation materialized? And sometimes when there's that waiting period, we begin to question God and say, God, what's up? But we need to know it's not on God's end. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to see what we need to do to cooperate with God for us to receive all that we need from Him. And so if you have your Bibles, open them, if you haven't already, to the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Joshua, chapter 1. Now, what is very interesting before we begin to read, if we understand the history of the book of Joshua, Joshua was Moses' servant. And Joshua served Moses for many years. And if you've read the Bible, or at least during Easter saw, you know, the Ten Commandments on TV, you know, you get a general sense of what is going on here, that God delivered Israel out of Egypt. And Israel is a type of the church. Egypt is a type of the world. And when God delivered Israel out of Egypt, it's a type of us, delivering us from sin and bondage. There's a lot of types in the story, and we know this from the Old Testament and the New Testament, that these things were written for our admonition. There's types and shadows in the Old Testament to show us how to believe God, what God is doing in our life. And so God had delivered Israel out of Egypt, and He had something in mind for His people. You know, of course, we know this, that God told Moses to tell Pharaoh, which is the type of the devil, to let my people go. And of course, Pharaoh didn't let the people go. And God brought forth His wrath upon Pharaoh and mighty plagues, mighty signs, and mighty wonders. And so God was letting Pharaoh know, which is the type of devil, you don't mess with my people. You mess with my people, there's going to be trouble. And there was trouble upon the land of Egypt. And so God delivered Israel out of Egypt, but He had an end in mind. He just didn't say, you know what, I delivered out of bondage, and there you go, just figure something out till you die and go to heaven. No, He had an end in mind. Why did He deliver them out of Egypt? He wanted them to get somewhere. He wanted them to go somewhere. Where was that? It was called the Promised Land. It was called a land flowing with milk and honey. And see, in Egypt, life was hard. They worked hard, received little. They were under cruel taskmasters. They were beaten, downcast. They were whipped and so forth. They were slaves in Egypt. And God wanted to get that slavery mentality out and wanted to get them into the Promised Land where, hey, you don't need slave anymore. That life can be easy for you. That prosperity can be easy. Provision can be easy. Life can be good. You'll live in houses you have not built. You'll eat of vineyards you have not planted. And this was God's will, to take them out of a bad place and bring them into a good place. And that's what God wants to do in your life. He wants to take people that are in sin, people that are struggling, people that are in a hard place, and bring them into a good place. And God fully intended to bring them in right away. But just to give you a little history, in case if you don't know the Bible, God tried it and couldn't do it. What do you mean? Again, it's that third part we talked about, the congregation's participation. You know, we read this in the book of Numbers, chapter 13. He brought them to the edge of Kadesh Barnea, which was the end of the wilderness, and He wanted to get them into the Promised Land. He sent spies out and said, you know, and they searched out the land for 40 days and said, man, this is a good land flowing with milk and honey. This land that God promised us. And, you know, God told them, this is your land. I mean, I'm going to give it to you. I want you to have this. This is my will for you. They searched the land and said, man, what God says is true. Man, this is a good land. But they had some reservations. They said, you know, what God said is true, but But there's giants in the land, and we're not a military people. We're servants, and we can't fight them. We can't do this. And so they stood on the promise of God. They saw what God wanted, but they didn't cooperate with God. And God was unable to bring that generation into the will of God. And so, speeding up, so for 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Very interesting, if you were to study that out, God just meant for them to pass through the wilderness and get into the promised land. That journey, if they went straight through, would have took 3 days. If they took the, you know, they took the long way, it should only took at most 11 days or 2 weeks. But they ended up being there for 40 years. And why? Because they did not cooperate with God. God wanted them to have it. But because they didn't cooperate with Him, they remained in the wilderness. And too many times, Christians are still in the wilderness. God has promised them so many great and wonderful things. God wants them to have it. He's made provision for them to have it. And God is saying, go and get it. And for some reason, we stayed in Kadesh Barnea and said, yeah, I know that's true, but I live in Jamestown. But my husband, but my employer, but my kids, but my body. Given all these excuses of why God cannot bring us in. And so by the grace of God, I want to give you some things to help you receive from heaven. And in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, God gives Joshua some instructions of how to possess the land, how to cooperate with him, and that way they can receive all that God has given them. And so we read some instructions here, and so we're going to see that God has a part and we have a part. And we know God always does His part, but what we need to do is do our part to make sure that we're cooperating with God. And if we'll cooperate with God, healing will be easy. If we'll cooperate with God, prosperity will be easy. Breakthrough, employment, whatever you need, you will see it, you'll taste it, you'll enjoy it, and you'll know the blessing of God is upon it. And so, but we have to heed these instructions. And so I want to do that little history lesson because this is the climax. After 40 years, 40 years ago, God tried. The people didn't agree with Him. Now there's a new generation. And He says, Joshua, I need you to take this people into the promised land. It's still my will. I want them to have it. But I need you. I need you to cooperate with me. Because if you don't cooperate with me, I can't do nothing. You know, and some people, that sounds sacrilegious. But you have to understand, God can do very little in the earth without you. Yeah. You know, we know this. If you're a Christian, the Bible says that Jesus is the head of the church. And the church is likened to a body. We're called the body of Christ. And we know this from our own head. You know, our own head can want something, but if our body don't respond, our head don't get it. You know, by Pastor Brad, there is a bottle of water. What if my head were to say, man, I want that water. My body needs that water. I'm a little parched right now. And so body, go get that water. That is the will of the head. And it's for the benefit of the body. But what if my body decides not to go? So no, that's not a good idea. I'm not moving. And as much as my head wants that water, you know, it's not going to get it. The body is not going to receive it. The body has to cooperate with the dictates of the head. And it's so important, brothers and sisters, to see that God needs your cooperation. God needs your response. And it isn't up to God whether your needs are met or not. It's simply up to us to obey Him and respond to Him. That way you can give Him the thrill, the joy of blessing you and seeing you receive. The Bible says, ask, you shall receive, that your joy may be full. God receives great joy and a thrill when you're happy, when you receive your healing, when you receive your provision, when you receive your breakthrough, when you receive your job, or whatever you're believing God for. And so again, we're circling the airport. We're ready to look at the scriptures. So what God tells Joshua is so vitally important when it comes to cooperating with them. And so let's read this. Start with verse 1. Joshua 1 and verse 1. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give unto them, even to the children of Israel. And so I took the first 10 minutes just to tell you the history. And so now you understand. Moses died. I couldn't do it in the last generation. Joshua, would you please help me? It's still my will for the promised land for God's people, the land flowing with milk and honey. And so he is commissioning Joshua, and he's going to tell Joshua what God needs from him in order to get the promised land to his people. You know, and before we go on, you know, something is, I was meditating on this, and this is just free, no charge. Notice Moses was called the servant of the Lord, and Joshua was called Moses' servant. And verse 2, Moses, my servant. And it just struck me, you know, God only speaks to servants. God only uses people that serve. You never see anybody that is just called and all of a sudden God thrusts them into some type of ministry. You always have to serve someone else. And, you know, if you're called to a ministry or you're looking for a breakthrough, you need to ask yourself, what are you doing in the church? You know, I train ministers, that's what I do. And you will live and die and never fulfill the call of God if you're not serving in the local church. You know, serving the parking lot, nursery, whatever. God looks for servants to speak to. Remember, David was serving the sheep, and God spoke to him. And so it's so vitally important, especially if you're called in the ministry, that you'll be serving in the local church. You always serve some other man. You know, I served another man before I was in ministry. Your pastor served me in the ministry. And for those of you that are called to ministry, you need to be serving your pastor. That's the way God does business. Everyone say free, no charge. All right? And so, but that's not my message. Don't take it away from my message. All right? But it's free. Verse 3, every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon that I've given to you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, unto all the land of the Hittites, and the great sea towards going down the sun shall be your coast. And there shall not be any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of good courage. For unto this people thou shalt divide for inheritance of the land, which I swear unto the fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And so, like I said, here God is telling Joshua, Joshua, this is what I need from you in order to get my people into the promised land. Or we could say this way, that this is what God needs from us in order for us to get into our promised land. Now, what do you mean in the promised land? Anything that God has promised. The Bible says all the promises of God are yes and amen. If God promised it to you, that means God wants you to have it. So your promised land may be healing. Your promised land may be provision, a job or a business to grow. It may be a family breakthrough, you know, whatever your promised land is. And so here, God gives us the key to cooperate with Him in order for us to receive the promises of God. Now, what is very interesting, whenever it comes to the promises of God, we need to understand this. There is a God side and there is a man side. You know, and so what we can just sleep well tonight and know this, we don't need to be concerned. God will always do His side. God is always on top of His game. And Joshua was raised under Moses. He heard what God told Moses over and over again. But here, God again repeats Himself. And God again tells Joshua, this is what I am going to do for you. Even though he heard it over and over again. And so there's three things that God said, and we're not going to spend much time on God's side because God is always on top of His game. Number one, we see that God is the giver of the promise. Notice this in verse 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto land which I do give unto them. God promised that land 40 years ago. And he said, that promise is still good. God is the giver of the promise. And it's so vitally important, brothers and sisters. Whenever you read something in the Bible, that is God's promise to you. Okay? I like what F.F. Bosworth, that he wrote Christ the Healer. And if you don't know much about F.F. Bosworth, he'd have healing crusades. And just by writing the book, Christ the Healer, he had over 200,000 document cases of people being healed. And so what his book was simply how to cooperate with God to receive your healing. Again, everything from God is not a matter of us begging God, trying to get God's attention. Hey, God, I need healing. God, answer my prayer. We have to understand that God has already given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given them to us in the form of promises. And if it's in the promise, and F.F. Bosworth said this, all of His promises show us what God is eager to do for us. So if you see something in the Bible, you just need to say to yourself, God is eager to do that for me. By His stripes I'm healed. God is eager to heal me. My God shall supply all my needs. God is eager. God has promised. God wants it more than you do. You need to understand the great pressure of His love. The Bible says He looks throughout the whole earth looking to show Himself strong. And so don't ever embrace the lie of the mindset, I'm trying to get a hold of God. I'm trying to get His attention. I tell you, God, you have God's attention. He just wants you to agree with Him. And that way He can get that thing over to you. So you need to know that God gave that promise. And God will always fulfill that promise. We see that in verse 5, that God is sustainer of the promise. He said this, there shall not be any man that shall stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. God says, if I promised it, I personally will make it good in your life. And God said this, I will not fail. Not only will I not fail, I will not fail you. He makes it personable. You need to understand the Bible is God speaking to us. God is swearing by Himself that my promise, the thing that I said you can have, I will not fail to give it to you. When it comes to me and my side, I will make it good. I will not fail thee or forsake thee. So you need to know that. God watches over his word to make it good. Again, we're not going to spend a lot of time here, but you need to know that, brothers and sisters. Receiving from God is not a matter of trying to get God to do something. It's understanding that God has already done something through Jesus. He's made all these promises. He is there wanting to do this for you. He just needs your cooperation and your agreement. And the third thing we see about God's promises to you is the presence, his presence of his promise. Notice in verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, it was very interesting. I was meditating on that. You know, we understand that we have to be led by the Spirit of God. We want to follow God in our lives, right? That's scriptural. But you know, the Bible has a lot to say about God following us. You know, where you go, God goes. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. And there must be a revelation in your life about greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. That wherever you are, God goes. Whenever you lay hands on the sick, God is laying hands on the sick. Whenever you pray, Christ in you, the hope of glory, he is praying. God is with you. John Lake, if you ever heard about his ministry, I like his reading. I like the spirit of faith upon him. He went to South Africa, raised up a huge church, 500 churches, and he'd be invited to spiritualists and witch doctors' conferences, and he wasn't afraid because he knew greater is he that's in him than he that is in the world. And he would look in the mirror every day and point to the guy he saw in the mirror and says, God is in that man. And so he had a consciousness that God was with him wheresoever he went. And you can see how he changed the world because he knew that God was with him. When you get up, God is with you. When you go to work, God is with you. When you're making that business deal, God is with you. And so it's one thing that, you know, for to believe that God up there is interested in me, but God is on the inside of you. He is in you, and he's going to put you over. And every promise of God, he's going to make good. And God just said, it wasn't good enough for me to be up here. I need to be in them. I need to be show myself strong from the inside out. And so not one of you is a victim. Not one of you is a beggar. Christ is in you. And so God is saying, I've done this. I've given you the land. I promised it to you. I want you to have it. I'm going to make it good. And not only that, I'm personally going to reside on the inside to put you over, to make this happen in your life. So that's God's side. And I mean, God does his side. And so all we need to do is cooperate with them. The previous generation did not cooperate with God. And so God is getting Joshua instructions. This is all I need. And there is only three things that God needs from you, according to the book of Joshua. And if you'll do these three things, again, I'm not big on 3 points in a poem, but I was just meditating. God gave it to me just supernaturally. He says, there's three things that I will do for him, and there's three things I need you to do for them. If they'll do these three things, they will always receive whatever they want from me. All right. And say, okay, I can tell them that. And so I only have the scriptures, and that's all I have for notes. And so what is it that God needs? Well, first of all, we have to have an understanding of how it works. Number one, we have to understand that we must do the treading. Or we could say this way, we must do the possessing of the promises. You were shouting a little while ago. It always starts when we got to do something. Remember, God promised Israel the promised land. He said, every place, sole of your foot, I've given it to you. I'll be for you. No man's going to stand before you. And then they went up to Kadesh Barnea and said, no, we just can't do it. Let's go back to Egypt. This is way beyond our comfort zone. You need to understand, you'll only get from God what you take from God. If you're just content being a Christian and you have this mindset, well, if God wants me to have it, I'll have it. No, you won't. You absolutely won't. That's like the children of Israel on Kadesh Barnea. God said, I promise you the promised land. That's like them just saying, well, if God wants me to have it, he'll give it to me. And they waited 40 years, died in the wilderness. And too many Christians are waiting on God when God is waiting for them. We must do the treading. We must do the possession. What are you talking about? We have to be proactive. We have to get in the Bible, find a scripture, lay hold of that scripture and say, I will not let go of the scripture until it comes to pass in my life. You can't be a sissy and expect to receive from God. Just sitting back and, okay, sarah, sarah, whatever will be, will be. What will be is nothing in your life. You got to possess it, brothers and sisters. If you want something, you have to go after it. Too many people, well, I'm waiting for God. God is waiting for you. Remember the tremendous pressure of wanting you to see you have it fulfilled, but he needs you to go and possess it. That's why he said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread, I have given it to you. Well, I'm just waiting for God to heal me. You won't be healed. What scripture are you standing on? What scripture are you confessing out of your mouth? What scripture are you standing on? Said, bless God, this is mine. Well, you know, God, if he wants me healed, I just believe the Lord heals. And that's why the same people get hands laid on them over and over and over and over again. There's no healing because they want someone else to do the possessing of the promise. You're going to have to rise up and take that promise. And notice this, every place the sole of your foot shall tread that I've given to you. You determine how much you have in your life, how much God, how much health, how much provision, how much freedom and liberty. You know, there's people bound with fear. And they make decisions bound by fear, and they're okay with that. And see, that's what you allowed. You allowed that in life. But if you tread on that thing, say, bless God, I'm going to be afraid no more. I'm not going to obey fear. Whatever fear tells me to do, I'm going to do the opposite. I do not have a spirit of fear. I refuse to have fear in my life. You tread on that thing and you'll be free from fear. Well, I just thought I'd have the pastor pray. You'll pray and you'll still be afraid. Yeah. See, brothers and sisters, it's up to you. And that's why it was so important we discuss and we showed you when it comes to God in, God's in, he's going to give it to you. But you got to tread on it. You got to possess it. And the more you possess, the more God is pleased. Well, you know, I just don't want to believe too big. You know, I don't want to be greedy, whatever. The more you believe God, the more faith you release, the more you please him. The Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please him. And so the more faith, the more you please him. You got to be very careful of criticizing people or ministries that believe for big things. I'm just going to warn you. You know, there's any judgment, you know, about motives, whatever, you got to leave that to God. But you need to understand from the Bible perspective, when people believe for big things, God was very, very pleased with it. In Joshua chapter 14, you don't need to turn there, there's a man named Caleb. And he went up to Joshua, you know, after this account, and says, you know, Joshua, I was there when God told us first time, me and you were ready, but the congregation wasn't. We had to wait 40 years until that congregation died off. And, you know, here I'm 85 years old, and I'm still ready to go possess the land. And you know what Caleb said to Joshua? He says, every place the sole of my foot treads, and says, therefore, give me this mountain. He wanted his home to be an entire mountain with cities on it. And what did God and Joshua say? Now, Brother Caleb, you're just believing too much. You're being greedy in your faith. You know, faith has boundaries, you know. God just wants you to have enough to supply your needs, nothing more. You're getting into greed. That thrilled God. You study out that Caleb had a spirit and it pleased him. He said he had a different spirit than everyone else had. He had a spirit that would believe God for big things. And so I want to encourage you, what are you believing for? Well, nothing. And that's exactly what you're going to get. And you need to understand, the more you believe, the more you please God. The more God's power can be released in your life. But brothers and sisters, you must do the possessing of it. What is it that you want? What is it that you want? Well, I got a list. Go after it. Go after it. Bless God, grab them one by one. You get in there and get the scripture. Bless God, I'm tired of high blood pressure. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of not having enough. Well, bless God, go after it. God will be with you. God will give it to you. Just stir up that gift on this. Stir up that faith. Bless God, I've gone without long enough. I've been sick long enough. I'm going after it. God is going to make it good in your life, but you need to go after it. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to you. You take a step, God goes with every step. And but too many Christians, well, I'm just waiting for God to give it to me. And they're taking no steps. God can't do anything. God goes where you go. What you possess, that's what God gives you. All right? You must do the treading. If I don't have it, it's simply because I've not gone after it. Well, Pastor, I'm just believing God someday. You'll be waiting for someday. Someday never comes. You can have it now. Now faith is. Now take a step after it. Don't be lazy in your faith. Use that faith to glorify God and get your needs met, whatever it is. If it's in the Bible, God says you can have it. Okay. So we must take possession of the promise. The second thing, would you like to know? We must be strong and very courageous. Now, what very interesting here, three times God told Joshua to be strong and very courageous. Look at verse 6. He said this, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be strong and very courageous. And verse 9, have I not commanded thee, be strong and of good courage? Do you think God was trying to say something to Joshua? Now, what was it? What do you need to do? Be strong and good courage. Why? Because we understand God wants to give the promise. God is for us. God is with us. And God goes where we go. We take a step towards that promise. God takes a step. You know, and so God is going to give it to us. But the Bible says this, there's a great door and effectual, but there are many adversaries. We understand that there are devils and demons. And, you know, the day you got born again, the devil said, oh, I guess I'm not going to mess with them the rest of my life. I lost them, I'll go to someone else. Have you ever found out that every time you take a step believing God, that's when opposition comes? I remember as a young man, I got in the Word, got excited about the Word, and I saw in the Word that by the stripes of Jesus I was healed. And man, I tell you, I was in my bedroom, and I did Jericho March in my bedroom. I shouted and danced, I'm not going to be sick the rest of the day. Another day in my life, I'm never going to be sick again. Guess what happened? I got sick. What? But it's sad that I'm not going to be sick, and I'm sick. Then I got a revelation. I'm not going to be poor. The God will supply all my need. I'll not be poor no more. Oh, I broke loose in my finances, and I was poor. See, immediately we think it does not work. But if you understand the teaching of Jesus, that's why it's important to be in the Word. Remember the parable of the sower. The sower sows the Word of God. And notice what happens immediately when the Word of God is sown. Satan comes immediately to steal the seed that was sown. Because it's only the Word of God. Standing on the Word can defeat Satan. It's not by your prayer life and yelling at him. It's the Word of God applied in your life that will defeat him every time. Just like Jesus, it is written, is written. That's why the devil fears the Word of God in your life. And so whenever the Word of God is preached, he's going to get you distracted. He's going to say, you're going to find fault with the preacher, get your mind clouded, not to receive. But also we see this, if you can't take it immediately, we understand it said this, that the other ones fell on stony ground that had not much earth. And when the sun came up, it withered. Then Jesus interpreted the parable, says that Satan comes for the word. He turns the heat on. Have you ever had the heat turned on? Well, bless God. God told me to start a business, and I believe God, and we're going to have thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars in bank. And you get the mail, and there's thousands and thousands of dollars in bills. What do you do at that moment? Do you give up? Or are you strong and very courageous? See, that's what the previous generation, that once opposition came, they cried and wanted to quit. Let us go back to Egypt. There's giants in the land. You know, when God told Israel to possess the land, he's talking about all the promises, but all they could see is all the problems, all the oppositions. We know this, Peter walked on water as long as he kept his eyes on the word. But when he looked at the waves and felt the wind, he began to sink. And see, you need to possess the promise. And once you possess it, you need to be strong and courageous until it shows up. And this is where many people miss it. They're strong, and the pastor preaches a fiery message on faith. It says, bless God, I believe I receive. Or maybe hands were laid on you, and bless God, I believe I receive. By the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. And you just walk in the parking lot, and all of a sudden, it's hurting worse than ever. What do? Most Christians say, I guess I didn't get anything. It's not working for me. People that think that never, ever receive anything from God. You have to be strong and very courageous. There's a reason he's telling them this. If Joshua was just going to walk into these cities, you know, walk into Jericho, and they're coming, they just left, he wouldn't need to tell them to be strong, courageous. They put up a fight. The devil put up a fight for your business. He'll put up the fight to keep you sick. He'll put up a fight to keep your family in a turmoil of hell. But you and God are majority. The Word of God is not bound. It doesn't matter who said what, who's doing what. You're standing on the Word. For that Word to fail means God to fail. And God just needs you to possess it, stand on it, and stay standing. When there's smoke and the battle's blazing, having done all to do what? Stand. You have to be strong. Now, what is strength? Is it working out in the gym? Strength is a decision. Because a lot of people say, well, I'm not strong. No, strength is simply a decision. The Bible says, be strong yourselves in the power of His might. No, be strong in the Lord in the power of His might. See, being strong is simply a decision. I'm not going to quit. Now, don't get me wrong. Doubts will fling in your head. You'll feel pain. Fear will try to grip you. And you have to stand strong and decide, I'm not moving from a place of faith. Having done all to stand, you may feel like turning and running and crying, screaming, hitting the pillow, and wanting to vent everything on Facebook and Twitter. Don't you do it. You haven't done all to stand. And your knees are quaking. And you just want to cry. And you just smile and say, I'm not moving. That's what strength is. You know, something that really helped me on this. I'm a firm believer that being strong, being in faith, is simply a decision. When we were born again, God says we've all have a measure of faith. That means we all have faith. Now, the devil may convince you, and you may have convinced yourself you don't have faith, but God's word says you have faith. And Jesus said this, if you have faith the size of a mustard, if you just have a little bitty faith can move any mountain in your life. And God made sure that all of you had a measure of His faith. You have enough measure to overcome any obstacle in your life. God said there is nothing in this world that will come against you that you don't have the grace and the faith to overcome it. You just need to use it. But what helped me with this? Because I used to struggle. Because I used to feel fear and I thought, well, I must be in fear. You know, things happen and my knees are knocking. Oh, I must not be in faith. But faith, it's just a decision to stand. What really helped me, remember the story of Jairus' daughter? Jairus' daughter was dying. And Jairus goes up to Jesus and said, Jesus, my daughter's dying. But I believe if you come, lay your hands on her, she'll live. That's faith. His faith was Jesus coming, laying hands while she's still alive, and you'd be healed. We all have a measure of faith. You study, it's great things in the Gospels, everyone's measure of faith. Jesus met them wherever their measure was. And so his measure of faith was to go to the house. Remember the centurion says, you don't need to go to my house, just say the word, I believe the word. That's a higher measure of faith. You know, Jesus didn't criticize Jairus, says that's where your faith is, that's where I'm going to meet you. You got to understand, God will meet you. You just put a little bit of faith and that's where he's going to meet you. There's great pressure for him to get that promise fulfilled in your life. And so don't be concerned, well, I don't have this great. Just use what you have. So Jairus, Jesus goes to Jairus, okay, I'll come and heal him. And we understand that as he went, the woman with the issue of blood, you know, touched the hem of his garment. And Jesus turned around, who touched me? And, you know, seeing the multitudes, Peter, you know, the disciple says, there's a whole bunch of people touching you. Why do you say, you know, who touched me? He says, I felt virtue come out of me. And the woman, fearing trembling, fell down before him and, you know, told him all the truth. And he said, this daughter, your faith has made you whole. Now, it's very interesting. Jesus didn't know who she was and she was healed. So that's faith is a law. Anyone can use it. Jesus, it wasn't up to Jesus whether she was healed or not. God's power always meets wherever faith is. And so, but as this woman was testifying, there came from the ruler's house and said unto Jairus, trouble not the master, your daughter is dead. Here he was believing God. Here he had his faith statements correct. You know, he was believing God. And as he was believing God, it got worse. Have you ever been there? And the problem is we give up. The problem is it didn't work. But notice this. When as soon as those words are spoken, Jesus immediately said, fear not, only believe. Now, some of you are parents. Some of you aren't parents yet. But when your only child, whom you love so much, you're believing God, there's that natural tendency to be worried or concerned, and they died, how many know you're going to feel something? No doubt the devil would say your faith didn't work. You know, you might as well give up. And so here, things have gotten worse. There's feelings. There's emotions. Have you ever felt emotions? Have you ever had feelings? And things are not working right. Things are going reverse instead of forward when you're standing in faith. Am I the only one? Jesus, in the midst of the whirlwind of emotions, feelings, things going from bad to worse, says, fear not, only believe. Jesus fully expected him in that situation with emotions, with feelings, with everything going to hell, just turn that switch on. That's all you need to do is make a decision to stand. Keep standing. It got worse, just keep standing. And guess what? She was healed. See, you have to understand that, brothers and sisters, that you have to do the possessing of it, and you have to be strong. It would have been awfully easy for Jairus just to give up. But Jesus was saying, just be strong, Jairus. It's got worse, just be strong. Some of you stand for healing, it's getting worse, be strong. Some of you believe for finances, it's getting worse, just be strong. The family situations got from bad to worse. Just be strong. And I like this, very courageous. You know, have you ever had the devil talk to you? Blah, 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 blah. You know what I'm talking about? You're standing. You're no good. You can't do this right. This is never going to happen. Blah, 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 blah. You all know that. You know, that's the voice of the devil. If you don't know, that's why you came here this morning. Those bad thoughts speaking in your head are not you. It's the devil trying to get you to believe them. There's seeds seeking a harvest in life. If you believe them, they'll grow. But you got to reject those thoughts. But I've learned a very great secret. We've all done this. We stood against those thoughts. No, I believe. No, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. We've almost done it in panic, you know. I'm not giving a spirit of fear. You feel that fear. You know, God's not giving me a spirit of fear. 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 You know what I'm talking about? Yeah, we've all been there. So God wants us not only to be strong, but he wants us to be very courageous. That means take a step forward. And so when I get those thoughts, and they seem to be overwhelming, I get a really big goofy smile on my face. I says, is that right, devil? Just call him out on the carpet. Let me prophesy to you. And I get in the book of Revelation. And there's this big old angel. He's coming down and he's got this big chain in his hand. And he's going to put it on your master, and he's going to round all of you guys up, and you're going to be in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, and at the end, you're going to the lake of fire. And here you're telling me I'm not going to make it, and even if I do check out, I go into heaven. I'm with Jesus. I'm in eternity with the presence of God, and you're forever in torments, burning in darkness, and you think I have the problem? I've never had a demon stay long enough to hear the rest of my sermon. What is that? Very courageous. It's not a feeling. Feelings will come. Feelings will go. Not only are you to be strong on the word of God, bless God, take it even a step further. You're hurting worse, say, I'm going to even confess more. The bills are piling up. I'm going to believe God more. I'm going to give more. God's word cannot fail me. If God be for me, who can be against me? This is all God needs. He needs you to possess it. He needs you to be strong and courageous until it shows up. Now I'm fixing to close. You know what that means, right? Absolutely nothing. That's when a preacher lies in the pulpit and God's all right with it. And again, for those of you that are visiting, you may be saying, this guy don't know nothing. Come back next week, hear the pastors. You will be blessed. The third thing God needs, and really this third thing is going to help you with the first two things. It's a beautiful thing about God. God never asks you to do something you can't do. He never requires you to do something when he does not provide the tools, the equipment, the provision for you to do it. And so we could say this way, God needs us to do two things, to tread on the promise and be strong, courageous. And the third thing tells us how to do that. What is that? That we as children of God must be meditators of God's word. I know this anticlimactic. I thought you're going to pull out, and the angels of God will be released, and we all shout and dance. A lot of people that build their lives on hoopla, that's all they get. It's only the word of God will change your life. It's only substance. Now notice this. God is preaching Joshua a sermon and says, I promise this. I will not fail you. I will be with you. Where you go, I'll go. And Joshua, all I need you to do is you possess it. You, Ted, you take that step and I'll take that step with you. And I just need you to be strong and very courageous. You just stand when it looks like all hell is breaking loose. You just stand and I'm going to get it to you. Then God ends his sermon this way. Verse 7. Only be strong, very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it from the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then you'll have success. Pastor, that was very anticlimactic. I'm just teaching the Bible. See, people want preachers, and right now God's anointing my hands for this special anointing to be strong and very courageous. And you know, every single Christian be up there, bless God. I'd be up there, bless God. There's such a thing. I want some of that. Anything of God, I want. And they'd go and they feel good after a while, but nothing ever changes. It's because they're not built on the Word of God. Jesus said there are two types of folks that build their lives on the word. When the storms of life come, they stand and very courageous and strong, and that house stands. Or those people that built on the sand, on prayer, on this experience, that experience, you know, yelling at God all night. It's only when you stand on the word of God that you'll see the fulfillment. But notice the devotion that is needed here, brothers and sisters. Can I be honest with you? How about, would this prove my honesty if I'm just sitting down just like the rest of you? Too many of us don't take the Word of God serious enough. Yeah, well, I read three Psalms a day, and, you know, and that's pretty good. I have my little devotional program that I do, read through the Bible. Well, that's good and wonderful. I read the Bible over and over and over again. But that's not what's saying here, brothers and sisters. Right. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate Sundays and Wednesday after church. No. This book of law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate day and night. Wait, we were screaming a little while ago. Woo, God's for us, we'll stand, yes. This is how you stand. Jesus said this, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And see, to be strong and very courageous, to stand in the promise of God, you have to be strong spiritually, brothers and sisters. I was going to write a diet book. It was just going to be one chapter long. You know what it's going to say? Only eat physically to the amount you ate spiritually, and I guarantee you, you'll lose weight. But no one would unbuy it. No! But it's true. F.F. Bosworth, you heard me say through his book, over 200,000 documented cases of people healed. And I don't, who knows, probably 1 million people were healed under his ministry. He said this, God's people feed their bodies 3 hot meals a day and their spirits only 1 cold snack a week, and they're wondering why they're weak in faith. Yeah. You know what we're going to do after church. We're going to eat. And you know, the more we eat, the more it shows. We believe in physical prosperity in America. It shows. And so many times when people are needing healing, prosperity, breakthrough, when the storms of life come, they're trying to be strong, very courageous, and they're back in the corner. Why? They've not fed their spirit. They've not maintained their spirit man. Faith is of the heart. It's with the heart you believe it. It's not working out in the gym. It's working out in the Word. They'll give you strength. And notice what it says, day and night. If you'll do it day and night, you will prosper and be successful. Well, I just want prayer. I just want to keep my little devotional time. Many people thought, well, this, God's just asking too much day and night in Word. But you do something day and night and you don't even know about it. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word proceeds out of the mouth of God. When you wake up, outside of your coffee devotion, what do? You have breakfast. How many had breakfast this morning? Yeah, most of you. You know, and especially if you're working. You say you go to work. You know, you eat breakfast, go to work. And they give you this like 10 o'clock, 10:15 break. What do you usually do? Well, you just got to have a little snack. Just a Snickers, a little bite of something, an apple. Just to hold you over till what? Lunchtime. And what do you do at lunch? Eat. And you think, man, you've already eaten 2 big meals and a snack. You ought to be set for the day. You know, 3 o'clock comes around. Still 3 hours to dinner time. I just got to have a little hankering or something. And then 5, 6 comes. What do? Bless God, you eat. What bondage eating is? That's bondage. And you just think that that's enough. Then just before bed, you know, you just can't sleep when there's that little pain in your stomach. You just need a little something to help you go to bed. Do I speak the truth? Brothers and sisters, you eat all day long. Is that bondage to you? Are you saying, man, I just hate eating? A lot of us look forward to it. Woo! I mean, as soon as you're close, will this preacher shut up? I want to go out and eat. I'm going to go to Friendly's and get me a burger and a shake. Bless God. We delight in eating. And guess what? It shows. I double dog dareth you. Every time you eat physically, eat spiritually. Our day is not affected. You know, we don't say that eating is bondage. I don't have time to eat. Some of you work too much. And if you're hungry, you always make time to eat. Whenever you eat, just grab a scripture, 3x5 card, your little iPad, and just buy a stripes. I'm healed. Buy a stripes on hell. Yeah. Feed your spirit like that. What happens when you don't eat after a while? You get irritable and eventually get weak. Same thing spiritually. You are a spirit being. Everything I've said to this point is true, and you can do it if the price is right. And all you need to do is feed your spirit. That way your spirit is strong. And that way, bless God, when you're standing, you see, and the word says, bless God, this belongs to me. And when the devil comes and tries to huff and puff and blow your house down, you're not in the corner and saying, oh, by your stripes I'm healed. Oh, my God supplies all my needs. No, bless God. You get right outside where the huffer and puffer is and say, oh, yeah, give it your best shot. I got something to say. I'm going to huff and puff and blow your house down. But you can only do that with spiritual strength. Spiritual strength comes by feeding on the Word of God. Your life will change. Lily B. Yeomans, who was a medical doctor, and because of just long hours of a practice, began to take morphine and other drugs, just kind of get the edge off of her. And before she knew it, she was addicted. And she was addicted to heroin, other things. She was taking doses that would kill an elephant. Someone described her as a walking skeleton with a demon inside. I mean, she tried all the cures, famous cures. She tried willpower, putting those drugs down. Nothing was able to overcome that demon of heroin addiction. And she was going to die. But she turned to the Lord. And she just got thrilled with the Word and began to feed on the Word about healing and look at the Word about healing. She began to get her eyes on the Word and just fed her spirit on the Word. It was life to her. In her own words, she don't know when that morphine, that heroin addiction left. It wasn't all of a sudden she felt power from God. She just got so thrilled with the Word, the problem left. How many know you just don't quit heroin like that? And all the other things addicted. It's just her spirit got so strong that anything of darkness, devil, left. That's the same thing in your life. Any affliction, any sickness and disease, if you get God's Word on the inside of you, that Word is life to those that find them and health to all their flesh. But you got to get in the Word. Brothers and sisters, you have all you need. You're born again. God's in you. Faith is in you. You have the promises of God. God will back you wherever you go. All you need to do, bless God, you get thrilled with the Word. Feed your faith. Then you step out over the aching void on a promise of God and you stand and you get courageous and you be bold. You stand, feed your faith. And I guarantee you, by the authority of God's Word, that thing will come to pass in your life. So that is my message. That is what the Lord wanted communicated. It's in your hands. It may my fruit remain. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful and thankful for your grace and your goodness. Lord, I believed I delivered what you told me. Father, you have such a great desire to bless us, to help us, to provide for us. But Father, we know this, it's not on your end. You've done everything. You've given us all things. You just need us to possess the promise. You just need us to be strong and courageous until it comes to pass. And so Father God, I just thank you for the Spirit of God that working in all of us, that Father, that we all here would give the Word of God first place to build ourselves up spiritually. Father, and that way we can receive, and that one of us would be lacking of any promise in Jesus' name. Now, Father, as we're in this place of prayer, before I turn it over to the pastor, Lord, I want to make sure that everyone here is born again. Everyone here is a child of God. Father, when we're born again, all these precious promises belong to us. You reside on the inside of us. You are the guarantee of everything you've given us. But Father, if someone is here, is not born again, Father, I desire that the eyes would be enlightened, that they would see there's a heaven to gain and hell to shun. Father, help them come to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, I just prayed a prayer. Maybe I prayed for you. If you're here today and you've never been born again, today is your day. Now, you may have not heard that term, born again, or you may have heard it wrongly. What is that term? That is the term Jesus used to identify a Christian. A Christian is not someone who just goes to church. A Christian is not someone who has a moral code. A Bible Christian is someone who's been born again. And Jesus said this, nobody can get to heaven unless they're born again. Why is that? Because the Bible says we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. No matter how many times we go to church, no matter how many good things we do, how many times we repent, that sin nature will keep us out of the presence of God. But God so loved the world, He gave Jesus. And Jesus Christ came and lived a sinless life. And not only did He live a sinless life, He went to the cross and He bared our sins. Everything that would keep us from the blessings and promises of God, He bore them on Himself, and He went to hell in our place. And He paid the price in full. And when He rose again from the dead, that signified the price has been paid, that redemption, that salvation belonged to every man. But again, it's up to us to tread this. Jesus Christ died and went to hell in your place. And how you tread it is by accepting Him as a Lord and Savior. You can't save yourself. Only Jesus can save you. And the way you're born again saved by simply receiving Christ as your Lord and Savior. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, is there anybody here this morning, you've never been born again and you'd like to be born again? Would you raise your hand? Now when you raise your hand, this is not joining the church. We're not going to embarrass you. This is between you and God. You're simply saying, God, I'm going to possess Jesus. I'm going to possess the salvation that you provide for me. So anybody here, you've not been born again. Anybody here? For those watching the live stream, go ahead and raise your hand. God will see your hand and your life will be changed. In a moment, we'll tell you how to pray in your life. Can be turned around right where you're at. I see that hand. God bless you. You can put it down. Are there any others that like to be born again? You've never been born again, like to be born again. I see the hand. God bless you. You can put it down. God loves you. God is for you. God is thrilled right now because He's been wanting to help you and bless you, and He just needs you to cooperate with Him. This is how we cooperate with the plan of God, by making Jesus our Lord and Savior. We had a couple of hands raised. Anybody else? You've not been born again, like to be born again. You've not raised your hand yet. I'm going to give one more invitation. Maybe you're here and you have been born again, but you're what we call backslidden, or what the Bible calls a prodigal son or a prodigal daughter, which simply means this, that, hey, I've been born again. I know what it is to walk with God. I've walked with Him, but I'm not walking with Him now. Maybe you got distracted, you got hurt, offended. Doesn't matter what caused you to leave fellowship with God. The important thing is to come back home. God's arms are open wide to you. Will you come back to Him? Is there anybody here who says, hey, this morning, that's me. I want to rededicate my life to the Lord. I see the hand. God bless you. We love you. I see that hand. God bless you. I see that hand. God bless you. I tell you, God is a good God. He loves you. And this is making steps towards Him. Every step towards Him, He will show Himself strong. We had several hands raised. We're going to pray for these, as we said here. Is there anybody else? You have not raised your hand, and you know you should, and you like to raise it now, go ahead. We want to include you in our prayer. Anybody else? Okay, we had several hands raised here this morning. We have people watching live stream. The beautiful thing is, the Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That means anybody can do this anywhere. Doesn't matter how moral you are, how immoral you are, whether you're in church or you're watching live stream, the same God is present everywhere, and He is rich to those that call upon Him. And so what we're going to do here as a church family, I'm going to lead you in a very simple but yet scriptural prayer. I want those of you that raised your hand or should have raised your hand, pray this prayer with us, along with those on live stream. And mean business with God. Let your heart agree with it. And God is going to hear your prayer, and you're going to have a brand new start here this morning. And so let's pray with these that raise your hand. Let's pray this together. Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ is your Son, and He died for me and rose again from the dead so I could be saved. This morning, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Father. I'm now your child, and my life will never, ever be the same again after this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you prayed that prayer, know this, you have a brand new start. God is for you. I want to encourage you to keep coming to church. Get in the Bible. You may not understand it at first, but the Spirit of God will help you. I don't understand how eating broccoli and spinach, how the digestive process works, but I know it's good for my body, so I do it. Sometimes you just read the Bible because you know it's good for you. Like on the treadmill, you just do it. And you know, if you're on that treadmill, the benefits eventually show up in your health. Same thing spiritually. We certainly love all of you. God's on the inside. He is for you. Get in the Word and watch what the Word will do for you. We love you. Thank you for putting up with me. Visitors, come next week. You'll hear something a whole lot better. God bless you. I'm going to turn it over to Pastor Brad.
Amen. Glory to God. I'll tell you, it's good to be blessed here this morning by hearing the Word. I don't know about you. Is anyone else ready to fight up in here? not physically or naturally, but we do have a fight of faith, and there's just a stirring. It's like, come on, devil, I'm ready to get mine. You know, I got help. I got my answers. I've been believing God for some things, and that's just the stirring, you know, boost that I need to get the truth, get liberated in some areas. So thank you so much, Pastor Michael, for obeying God. We're going to take up an offering here this morning. Just to bless and honor, to love on Pastor Michael. I like what it says over here in 2 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. And I like verse 7. It says, concerning the giving and the offering, it says, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. Not grudgingly because you have to, not necessity because, oh my gosh, some people are under, well, I need to give because I need to get something here. You know, there's a selfish motive behind that. But he says, if you eliminate your selfishness out of this, and it becomes a matter as you purpose in your own heart, he says, God delights, it says that he prizes above other things in the Amplified, a cheerful prompt to do a giver. And so when we give, This is a matter of the heart. You have an opportunity. We're going to give a love offering to Pastor Michael. Just make sure your joy is connected to it. You know, how many people, well, I don't know if I, you know, do I want to give? Hey, you purpose that in your heart. There's no laws saying you have to give a certain amount. Just make sure that your heart's connected to it and you do it joyfully. And God loves that. So ushers, if you'll come forward at this time, if you're making out checks, you can just make them out to Family Church. We're gonna present Pastor Michael with one big check. You don't have to fill out an offering envelope or anything like that. We're just gonna put the money in the bucket, and we're not gonna tax credit this or anything like that. We're just gonna take up that collection and give it all to Pastor Michael. So let's just go ahead and rejoice as we give. Father, we thank you for an opportunity to sow seed into good ground. We thank you, Father, for the word here this morning. And we know that, Father, your word says, Galatians 6:6, to those that communicate your word, it's right to communicate back unto them in every good thing, including finances. And Father, we hook up our hearts to our man of God. We hook up our hearts to Pastor Michael, and we thank you for the word that he gave to us, the answers that we received here this morning. And Father, we give with joy, and Father, we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. Brothers, you may serve the people. Glory to God. Amen. I trust you got your help here today. And I also want to say that if you're here and you receive the Lord this morning, if you're born again, hey, you know, it's so important that you understand what the next step is. After service, I'm going to be up front. If you're here and you're visiting today, or you just received the Lord as your own personal Savior, I invite you, please come on up. I'd love to introduce myself to you, get to know you. It's so important that not only you get born again, but you learn the next steps in getting connected with the Lord. So we're going to dismiss here in a moment, but I just encourage you, if I haven't had a chance to personally meet you, I would love for an opportunity to do that. I'll be right up front here right when we dismiss. So glory to God. At this time, I see the ushers the buckets have been passed there. Why don't we go ahead and stand to our feet? Let's do what the Word says. Let's just worship and praise the Lord before we dismiss. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We glorify you. We thank you, Father, for your Word here today. And Father, we leave changed, and we leave a doer of your Word. And we thank you for your great help. And we give you the praise and the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. You are dismissed.